Well, I planned to preach on the Beatitudes today, but the Holy Spirit led me to focus on this text from Micah. All of our readings today are wonderful, great texts for us to reflect on. But I want to look today at what Micah says about how we are to follow God. We're actually lucky that we get to look a little bit deeper at this passage, because we all have probably heard and know the famous Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. But when we look back at the rest of this passage, we learn a little bit more about what's going on when God says these words. Micah, the prophet, was a simple shepherd called by God to share God's message with the people. Micah was a prophet at the same time as the much bigger and better known prophet Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied near Jerusalem. He moved in and out of castles, but Micah didn't move in those circles. You can see on the map where Jerusalem is and where Isaiah was, and then you can see Micah a little bit to the south. Micah lived in what was a very dark time in Israel's history. You may not know that God's own people had separated into two groups, the northern kingdom where Jerusalem was and the southern kingdom where Micah was. During Micah's life, a war broke out between these two sides. 120,000 people died on the southern side alone. Sensing weakness in the country, Assyria invaded the northern kingdom and sieged Jerusalem for 3 years. How long could the south remain free from attacks? The southerners were scared, and it was to them that God spoke through Micah. Well, it sounds like from our reading that God's people and God are having a bit of a quarrel. God invites the people to come and lay their case out for why they're not trusting in God. Sometimes this is called a covenant lawsuit, when God and the people are having a disagreement over their promises. And so God invites them today to heavenly court. God says, rise and plead your case before the mountains. The Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. So God is saying, you've got some problems with me. Let's have a chat. Because God isn't sure what's going on. God lists some of the things that he has done to help his people. He says, what have I done to you? I got you out of slavery. I gave you leaders who took care of you and guided you in my ways through the wilderness. And this mention of a lot of funny names that we hear, and Ed did a good job reading them. He talks about Balaam and Balak. And King Balak tried to get Balaam to curse Israel because he knew that what Balaam said often happened. But Balaam refused, saying, how can I curse whom God hasn't? Even if Balak gave me his whole palace full of silver and gold, I could not go against Yahweh, my God. Then we hear about from Shittim to Gilgal, and that's a reference to crossing the Jordan River into the promised land. So that's the time when God's people had been wandering for 40 years and then finally made it to the land that God had promised them. So you see on the one side Shittim, then crossing the Jordan into Gilgal, where the promised land was. So God is reminding them that he kept his promise there. Then when we move into verse 6 and 7, God seems to quote the Israelites. And it's this list of questions that kind of each question raises the stakes of a higher and higher sacrifice. What does God want from us, the people say? Does God want us to sacrifice our young calves? That would be a sacrifice of food, security. Does God want thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oils, or should we sacrifice our own children? It's a little dramatic, don't you think? But God reminds us what God requires of us and what God thinks is good for us, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. So, what does it mean to do these things? I'll break it down by each one. What does it mean to do God's justice? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about what justice is. I'll just take you through a few passages. One is from Isaiah, who we'll hear from next week, actually, where God says, I want you to share your bread with the hungry, open your homes to the homeless poor, remove the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. Justice for God involves our relationships with others. God wants us to share bread, share our gifts and what we have. God wants us to open our doors to the homes, to the homeless poor. And as we think about what's going on in our country with immigration today, I wonder how well we're really doing that. God wants us to work against injustice, and God wants us to free people who are oppressed. In Proverbs, it says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. God's justice needs our voice. We need to speak up for those who are poor and vulnerable. In Isaiah chapter 1, right off the bat, Isaiah talks about God's justice, and he tells us to seek justice, to encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, and fight for the rights of widows. What does it mean to love kindness? In Ephesians, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. Kindness involves our relationship with each other and being kind to each other even when we might not agree, forgiving each other, just as we have been forgiven in Christ. Sometimes people like to say it doesn't cost anything to be kind. And that's true, but it's not always easy. The world needs more kindness. In Proverbs 21, it says, whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. Pursuing love and kindness shows us the way to find more life, more kindness, and more righteousness. And in the Bible, when we hear about righteousness, it means right relationships with each other, good, honorable, just relationships. And the opposite is also true. If we don't pursue kindness and love, we will find hate and injustice. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Jesus showed us God's loving kindness, not because we are good, but because God is good. So when we don't feel like being kind or loving, we can look to God and draw our source of love and kindness from Christ. And then this passage from Romans, I think, is very interesting for us to think about as Christians. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. Love doesn't always mean mushy-gushy positivity. God's love can lead us into action. To tell somebody that radical action isn't being loving isn't quite biblical. To love is to act. Just look at how Jesus lived his life and showed us love. It was pretty radical action, life-changing action. So what does it mean to walk humbly with God? 1 Thessalonians tells us to walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls us into his own kingdom and glory. As Anne Lamott likes to say, we are God's reps. We are God's Midwest reps in this world. How we walk through our lives is a testimony to God. We need to live so that others can see God in our lives as if God was walking next to us. 1 Corinthians says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. So in other words, we have to walk the talk. Walking humbly with God also means following in God's path and not just talking about following God. In Proverbs, it says, "Seek God's will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take." Walking humbly with God means that we look for God's guidance in our lives. And that involves a lot of prayer, a lot of time seeking God, reading God's word, and being guided by God through our whole lives. Psalm 69 says, "The humble will see God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged." We can have courage because God has done a lot for his people. And we are gifted with many things. Personally, individually, we're gifted and blessed. And we as a group are gifted and blessed. And God doesn't give us blessings just to keep for ourselves, but for others on God's behalf. God blesses us and wants us to act with justice and love for all humanity, but most especially, as you heard in all these Bible readings, for the poor, the homeless, the orphan, the oppressed. The Bible tells us that over and over again. Justice, love, and faith are all actions. It's not just about believing in God in the Bible. It's also about living and acting out those beliefs. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. They're verbs, not nouns, and they're a challenge to us every day. How are we doing God's justice, actively showing love and kindness, and walking alongside God? One of my favorite passages is from 1 John. "Let us not love with words or speech, but in actions and in truth." Today, the world certainly needs the actions of Christians. It's not enough for us to sit in our pews or on our couches. And you guys, I love my couch. It's so awesome and safe and comfy. It's great. But God calls us out into the world to be loving, to do justice, and to walk with him, to advocate for the poor and the oppressed. And God always puts his money where his mouth is. God doesn't ask us to do anything that God hasn't already done. And as Lutherans, this makes all the difference for us. Jesus showed us the ways of God's justice when he told that story of the Good Samaritan who risked his own life and safety to help that hurting man. When he showed us God's forgiveness, when he fed the hungry, he clothed the naked, he healed the sick, and he told us to do the same. He welcomed the stranger, and he said, "In that person, we find Christ." Jesus lifted up God's truth and showed us God's love and kindness, especially when we think of the golden rule, to do unto others as we would have them do to us. Jesus was born humbly and lived a life of humble service. He walked to the cross to show us the biggest, best example of how much God is willing to give to be close to us. We only do this work because Christ has shown us the way. He blesses us so that we can bless others in their time of need. The foolishness of the cross is a call to be loving and humble doers of justice. The blessings of the Beatitudes don't make any sense by the standards of this world. And so to do these things, to believe these things, takes great courage, especially when it might mean risking our lives. So knowing that we're freed to love Christ and serve our neighbor because God has done the same for us, let's make an action plan for ourselves this week about how we will follow this call. So you can take out your green sheets now, which break down the three areas that God asks us to do to follow him. And I gave you just a few examples, ideas of things you could do however you're inclined, and you have other ideas, I'm sure. So as we close, just take a few moments to to think about how you this week can do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. And take those sheets home and keep praying about it and knowing that God loves you. Amen.